side of the river.
They're less expensive, they're bigger, their service better, they're just better. R&R Sanitation, 314-776-4000. They want your stinking business. R&R Sanitation.
If you own a business, you know incorporating can be a smart way to protect yourself and your assets. So the question is, why haven't you incorporated your business yet?
My business? It's too small.
Wrong. No matter how small your business, you run the risk of losing all your personal assets, your car, your home, even your entire life savings if you're not incorporated.
Incorporating is very complicated.
Actually, incorporating is easy and fast. You can do it in just 10 minutes. Call now for your free guide from LLC.com. 1-800-400-50.
I need a lawyer to incorporate. That's really expensive.
You don't need a lawyer, and we don't offer legal or financial advice. LLC.com is a service company whose only mission is helping people like you incorporate safely, easily, and quickly. Find out how simple it is to protect your family and personal assets by incorporating. Call now for your free guide. 1-800-400-5017. 1-800-400-5017. That's 1-800-400-5017.
To reach their greatest potential on the field or on the court, Mizzou athletes need to be fueled by the right nutrition. And the same goes for the athlete within your dog. Whether striving to run that extra mile or learning to catch that flying disc, Purina Pro Plan offers fine-tuned, advanced nutrition to help your dog perform at his absolute best. Find Pro Plan today at a pet specialty retailer near you. Purina Pro Plan, nutrition that performs.
Stop in to your local Chevy dealer to check out the 2014 Silverado, Cruze, Malibu, or Equinox. And take advantage of President's Day cash today.
I'm hungry.
Looking to try a new local restaurant?
Yes, I am.
Search Kuna Foods' new dining website, bestrestaurantsinst.louis.com. Like them on Facebook. That's bestrestaurantsinst.louis.com.
Thanks.
K Bova Realty, family owned, big enough to provide excellent service, small enough to care. Find K at www.sellingstlewis.com.
Hit the B Square! Yeah, on hit the B Square!
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Oryx. 7 locally owned and operated home centers in the St. Louis area. Oryx home centers all around town and all over the internet, too, at O-R-E-C-K. That's Oryx.com. Sponsors of our movie and nightclub segment with this gentleman, Mr. Joe Hipperson.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Hello, Joe. How are you today?
Oh, I'm freezing, Paul Harris. How are you?
I'm happy to be any place that's warm. I'm with you. I'm so sick of this winter already.
I know. I mean, and, you know, everybody, you know, the East Coast and the South, everybody's got hit with tons of snow. And I want to feel bad for them, but then we get this, and I don't know what this is. It's just, it's ridiculous. I never, ever thought I would look forward to heat, ever, because I always embrace the cold. I'm the guy that wears a jacket all year round,
yeah.
But I cannot wait. I'm thinking about the second spring breaks, right? The second it goes down, I might buy a pair of shorts, which I haven't done since I was, I believe, 10.
Wow, those have got to be some tan legs.
Oh no, it's really disgusting. I mean, I look like an albino chicken, so it's not going to be for the ladies. But I might have to embrace it.
All right, let's get to movie stuff this week, and I don't know if you call this remake week or reboot week or what it is, but kind of typical of the middle of February, isn't it?
No, it definitely is, man. We've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, we got 4 remakes out this weekend.
Wow.
Oh, wait, maybe I'm wrong. Hold on. We've got, let's see, 1, 2, I need to learn how to count, don't I? Okay, we got 3 remakes, and it made me ask this question. What is the difference between a remake and a reboot? And I think the answer is pretty simple. A remake is just one film. But a reboot is when you're trying to recharge a franchise.
Like,
would you agree?
Like they've done with Spider-Man and Batman and Superman, etc.
Right. You got things that are already established. People already know about these, you know, characters. But yet, every time they do a reboot, the very first version or the first, I don't know, attempt at the reboot is always an origin story. And it's just enough of that already. I mean, that was one of the things I loved about the 1989 Batman film. The only origin story in that was the Joker's story. Batman was already around. I mean, the very first scene in the movie, he's Batman. We don't see him training and brooding and all that stuff. We don't need to. If the guy's wearing a bat symbol on his shirt, he's Batman. We get it. His parents are dead. We understand. But yet they keep doing the origin story, and I don't think you need to do that. The Amazing Spider-Man, the big reboot with Garfield taking over for Tobey Maguire, that whole movie was just an origin story that we had just seen not a decade earlier.
Now, does RoboCop count as an origin reboot? Because are they looking at RoboCop as a franchise now?
They want RoboCop to be a franchise again, and I'm not sure how many people remember how laborious it was to sit through RoboCop 2 and the torture of RoboCop 3. I'm assuming that they do want this to be a franchise, and judging from the critical response, it's kind of down the middle. What I can't stand about the RoboCop remake, which is in theaters this weekend, is that it's a PG-13 film based on an original film that should have been NC-17 with the amount of violence, drugs, swearing. I mean, that movie is complete R-rated, just, you know, fanboy geek porn. And I don't know how this happened, but I remember being a kid and watching that movie with family members and then going outside with my uncle and playing RoboCop with my cousins, but nobody seemed to mind. It's just crazy the way things are so sanitized now.
The thing about the original RoboCop movie was, yeah, Peter Weller was fine as RoboCop. And by the way, I don't think we need to explain the concept, the plot, because if you can't figure out what a movie called RoboCop is about, then you should just stop going to movies altogether. But the thing that made it wasn't Peter Weller as Officer Murphy becoming RoboCop. It was, of course, the villain. How many times do I have to say this about movies? These kind of action movies are made by the villain, and Ronnie Cox was really good as a villain in the original.
Oh, I'd buy that for a dollar, for
hey,
sure.
There you go.
So how about the villain in the new one?
Well, that's the problem. The villain in the new one is... They don't know exactly who the... I mean, okay. The villain in the new one is pathetic. There's a throwaway line to, I'd buy that for a dollar, but the problem is not so much the villain's role, because you cannot come close to what Ronnie did in the first one. So they don't even, it's a completely different character name. The thing about RoboCop, the original, was that the villain was also society. They were taking where we were at that time in the 1980s and just saying, hey, if we stay this way, this is what the future is going to look like. The future itself, the city of Detroit, on top of everything else, was a villain in RoboCop. And in this new attempt at telling the story, It's not even that dismal. It's not even really that bleak. Also, it's a PG-13 film, so the violence isn't really violent. And let me just say one thing I can't stand about the RoboCop remake, reboot, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so Murphy, the cop, gets all, you know, jacked up, and he has to have all these robotic things attached to him. He's basically a head with a little bit of a chest, and he's got one working human hand. Yet, every time he's out as RoboCop, he's got his robot hand, but the hand is human. He doesn't even so much wear a glove on that thing. The guy's got like 5% of human flesh left, and 3% of it is completely exposed to get, you know, just blown away. I don't get that one bit. Give the guy a glove, otherwise I just don't understand it. The actor who's playing Murphy in this movie felt that in order for it to be a success, he needed to have his visor off as much as possible to show his face,
yeah,
which is a huge mistake, because he's RoboCop. We don't need to be seeing his sympathetic or whatever kind of eyes. He's a robot man. He's more of a threat when you can't see whether he's looking at you with sympathy or disdain or whatever. It's better when you just don't know what he's thinking, because he shouldn't even be showing his eyes. The only good thing about the RoboCop remake, if you get stuck watching it this weekend or you decide you want to just, you know, throw caution to the wind, there's one moment in the film where Michael Keaton, I swear, it might only be about an instant or two, but if you close your eyes, it's like a Beetlejuice moment with the way he just goes nuts. It's brilliant. It's great. And as of today, he has officially said he is 100% in for Beetlejuice 2. As long as Tim Burton has something to do with it, he is signing on and he's making it happen ASAP.
All right. Not looking forward.
Come on.
Too
much time has passed? They're not, if they reboot or remake Beetlejuice, then I will boycott film for an entire year, all right? Michael Keaton needs to embrace that role again.
I don't think you need a Beetlejuice 2. That's why I'm making those noises.
Oh, I see. Because you're afraid they're going to go Godfather 3 too much time?
No, I just, well, that's part of it, yeah. But I also think that there are certain movies that were fine, leave them alone, yeah. Come up with a new idea. You know, like we're talking about, 75% of the movies that are out this week are not based on an original idea. They're based on something that was already done.
Rehashing.
Yeah, we don't need... I'm just so sick of it, Joe.
Well, look, I'm sick of it, too. But look, it's Valentine's weekend. It's February. So, I mean, we've got Endless Love.
I was going to say, nothing says love like RoboCop.
Yeah, well, that's probably why they released it 2 days early, because they didn't want to make it seem like it was a heartfelt idea to, you know, take your girl to go see that movie. Endless Love is out. It's a remake of a 1981 film. Check out this original story. A privileged girl falls for the boy that the parents don't like, and they try and keep them apart.
Oh, this chick in this movie, though, is smoking hot. I don't know what her name is.
Wait a second. Is she supposed to be 15 years old?
No, I checked ahead of time. She is above 18.
But she's supposed to be a 15-year-old girl, right? That was the original Brooke Shields.
I don't know.
Wasn't the original a 17-year-old boy falls in love with a 15-year-old girl?
I do believe they were very underage.
I don't know about in this one. I know the guy isn't supposed to be younger in this one.
Oh, thank God for that. That's great. So, yeah, Endless Love, it just sounds like self-induced vomiting. About last night.
Okay, let me just say this about Endless Love. I did not see the original, so I can't tell you anything about it, but I looked it up today online. That movie has some of the first movie appearances by Tom Cruise and James Spader.
Wow.
And the fact that no one else knows that, and that all of us who are into movies didn't know that, should tell you everything you need to know about both the original and the remake of Endless Love.
That's a very good point. Very good point. About Last Night is another remake from a 1986 Rob Lowe, Demi Moore movie. I don't know how to politically correct my next statement. I don't know. I just don't want to say it wrong. But it's a how do I put this?
It's a
more
black
of an African American.
It's a black remake of a white movie. That's all it is, right?
It is. And it's rated R. It's got a lot of shock moments in it. This is basically, if you have to take your Valentine to a movie this weekend, and you have a very fun, flirty relationship, and it's just starting, and you don't need to kick in the romance, this is a safe bet. It's an R-rated film. Laugh like adults. Have a good time. That's the only place I want to go with this. I've seen the original about last night.
Yeah.
Didn't really do much for me. They were trying to ride the coattails of St. Elmo's Fire, and I thought it was a misfire.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about this. I kind of liked the first one. I thought Demi Moore was cute. It was her. It was with her original chest, by the way.
Yes.
Before the enhancement that came later on. And Rob Lowe was the same pretty boy that he is today. Exact same face. It's unbelievable. And Jim Belushi was in it, and he was actually pretty funny. And Elizabeth Perkins was her best friend, and was pretty good. The movie was actually based on a David Mamet play called Sexual Perversity in Chicago. I've never seen the play, but I've read that the play was a lot more explicit about some of the conversations that they had, which they had to tone down a little bit for the movie. Now, that being said, the movie still had some nudity in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Some toplessness.
Yes.
On the part of Ms. Moore, and was not all that bad. I'm glad to hear that when they remade that, that it is still R-rated, so maybe it still has some of that aspect to it. But I guarantee you there are no David Mamet lines left in the remake. Am I right?
Well, no, you're right, because Kevin Hart, who is the 2014 version of Chris Tucker, had a lot to do with the dialogue in the film, so expect it to have a very different cultural feel.
Okay.
And another movie, this is not a remake, but if this sounds interesting to you, then fine, good luck. This might be what you get stuck with going to the movies with your Valentine. Winter's Tale, which is rated PG-13. You got Colin Farrell, Russell Crowe, Jennifer Connelly. Okay. Well, I mean, come on. She still kind of has. I mean, she's got those eyebrows, though. I mean, there's a little bit of Ernie and Bert action going there. That's kind of, you know. Okay, so a burglar falls in love with an heiress as she dies in his arms. And then, conveniently, he finds out he has the gift of reincarnation, and the whole movie is about him setting out to save her life and basically reanimate her back to life, which means he wants to turn her into a reincarnated zombie version of herself. There are so many different things happening in this movie that no one is able to classify it. I would not call it a romantic movie, nor would I call it a drama. Some of it I would consider a comedy with the absurdity. But it's a February release that stars Colin Farrell and Russell Crowe. I haven't been able to take Colin Farrell seriously in a very long time. The last time I enjoyed him was in Horrible Bosses, and that was just because he was the opposite of Colin Farrell. This movie, it's him with his dark, brooding eyes and his perfect hair just looking depressed for 2 hours. If that does it for you, fine.
You know, I did not like him in Saving Mr. Banks, and I did not see his remake of Total Recall. To me, this is a guy who years ago, remember when he did the movie Phone Booth?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That was a pretty good movie, and he was doing some pretty good movies back to back to back. Somebody in his support staff is not making good calls about his career.
I'm going to blame the Alexander and the Miami Vice film.
Yeah.
Never saw that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the Miami Vice movie, I mean, they should have gone, even though I'm not a big fan, but the way they made the movie for Starsky and Hutch was probably the direction they should have gone with Miami Vice. Instead, they tried to make it very real and very dramatic, and it made it very long and very lame. And then Oliver Stone decided, hey, I'm still Oliver Stone. My ego needs to be just spewed all over the Alexander story. That was just so, I mean, I don't know any other director who's released, like, what, five different recuts of the same movie just to beg people to give it one more shot?
Yeah.
I've watched three versions of Alexander. I still don't know what the heck's going on. And that accent, oh, my God. That's the other thing, too. He comes across like a priss. I mean, he's supposed to be Alexander. He's supposed to be really, really cool. He makes Brad Pitt look Oscar-worthy in Troy with the way he did Alexander.
Wow, wow, wow. All right. Yeah. Well, I want to mention one other thing that people may not, a reason why people may not be going to any of these movies or any other movies this weekend, and that's because today Netflix released the second season of the Kevin Spacey, Robin Wright series, House of Cards. And you know the way Netflix does it is they release all the episodes at the same time, and then you can watch one or two or eight or as many as you want. You can binge watch them or spread them out any way you want. And I have a feeling that there are people who really liked season one. When season two does show up on their screens, they're going to decide very, very quickly if they like it or not. I have not seen any of it. I have not read anything about it. I am purposely trying not to because I'm one of those fans who enjoyed season one, and I plan on binge watching the second season this weekend. I don't want to have any spoilers. I don't want to have anything happen. In fact, earlier today, I recorded an interview with Gerald McRaney, Major Dad, Simon and Simon. He had a role in two episodes of House of Cards last season, and he's back playing the same billionaire character he did in this next season. And I started off by the interview by saying, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit ambivalent about doing this interview with you because I don't want you to tell me anything about this season. He says, I'm the same way. I haven't seen it yet. I don't want to tell you anything. I don't want to have anybody tell me. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to see how much of that detracts from people actually going to movie theaters, in addition, of course, to all the weather across the country impacting that as well.
Well, when you mention that TV show as well, or Netflix show, whatever you want to call it, the only thing it's got going against it is that it was a sleeper hit. Not many people expected it to really become something they just couldn't stop watching. And once you do that, you've got a huge expectation level on the sophomore effort. And I really hope they stay true and they don't get a little bit too self-indulgent. Sometimes awareness of how great you are in the public eye kind of creates a downward spiral. Let's see, I believe the X-Files really embraced that, which I can't stand because I still believe the truth is out there. But one thing that I will say I'm against when it comes to the way Netflix will release an entire season of an original show was that Arrested Development is one of my favorite comedies of all time. And when they did the Netflix season, the fourth season, I think they really screwed up. And I don't, spoilers, it's all one episode. I mean, the entire season is them showing you the exact same episode from the point of view of every character on the show. So it's kind of funny, but if you don't all watch that, if you don't watch the entire season in one night, you have to go back and rewatch just to remind yourself where you've been. And then by that time, when you start moving forward, everything starts to feel stale because it's really just the same episode.
Yep.
I got a couple of clubs if you're interested.
Yeah, let's get to them.
All right, tonight, Killer Instinct over at Pops, the Union Rags are at Off-Broadway. Off the Witness at FUBAR, Druid Cloak is at 2720 Cherokee, Bug Chaser at the Schlafly Taproom, The Sins of the Pioneers at Highway 61 Roadhouse, Fetch the Bone at Turner's on Main Street, Powerline Sneakers at the Livery Company, Thrallite, Arctic Monkeys over at the Pageant, Paranoia at FUBAR, Runaway Barge at the Gramophone, Opposites Attack at the Mad Magician, Little Big Bangs over at the Schlafly Taproom, Bluefish at Off-Broadway, Got Villains at Plush, and last but not least, I have got five concerts here. Four are absolutely legitimate, one completely made up. Are we ready to play?
Yeah.
All right. Sauce Monster, Friday at 2720 Cherokee. Banks and Cathedrals, Friday at the Heavy Anchor. Sweet Torture, Saturday at Cicero's. Rye Bread and the Loafers, Saturday at the Way Out Club. Ladysmith Black Mambazo, Saturday at Wallaby Theater.
I'm going to let Ian go first today.
I'm going to go with Rye Bread and the Loafers.
Dan?
I'm doing Rye Bread and the Loafers.
All right, I'm going to go Rye Bread and the Loafers.
All three of you are, unfortunately, losers because the fake band name was Sweet Torture at Cicero's.
Wow.
Nicely Sweet Torture.
Way to go, Drew. I'm on a roll, man. I'm on a roll.
I know the last one.
I'll talk to you guys next week. I am Joe Richardson for the Big 550 KTRS Hit on Entertainment.
Joe is brought to you every week by Oric. Seven locally owned and operated Oric home centers in the St. Louis area, and they're online at oreck.com. When we come back, I've got to talk about the 40th anniversary of one of the funniest movies ever made and some things about it you may not know.
And we're going to get a look at traffic right now. It's been crazy out there this afternoon. Here's Tim Weiland.
It still is. I'm looking at an accident now on northbound 270 just a little bit before the Clayton Road overpass, or it's right around the Clayton Road overpass. The left lane is blocked. Then they also have part of the accident off on the right shoulder. Traffic is jamming up now back almost to Doherty Ferry. Southbound 270, you're jammed up from Dorset down through Manchester. A little heavy down through Doherty Ferry, but it does look much better from Big Bend through Highway 55. We do have a new accident now on eastbound 40 at 14th Street, and that's causing a big backup there. Westbound 70, looks like you're running slow around the Jennings Station, Lucas and Hunt area, a little heavy past the airport. And then you've got some slow stretches from Highway 270 out through O'Fallon. On eastbound 270, we're jamming up approaching McDonald. It's going to be slow from West Florissant all the way to the Chain of Rocks Bridge. Westbound 44, a little bit heavy around Elm. It looks heavy again between Meraz and Bowles. And on southbound 55, you've got that slow stretch between Arsenal and 4500 South Broadway. And this traffic report is brought to you by GEICO. What does it mean when GEICO says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to GEICO.com 15 minutes ago. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
The Tigers play here on KTRS. Tomorrow, the Tennessee Volunteers invade Mizzou Arena to take on Coach Frank Haith and our Missouri Tigers.
93 seconds to play in regulation.
Coverage begins at 2:30 p.m. and the tip-off is at 3.
Three-point game. Missouri leads with 28 seconds to play in regulation.
The Tigers versus the Volunteers.
Missouri wins it 104-67.
Catch it all right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Bang!
We are our Mizzou.
It is a biting, sharp, fiercely funny play about a young novelist returning home at holiday time to talk about the story she's written about her family, which is not easy sledding.
Stephen Wolf, artistic director at The Rep, discussing Other Desert Cities.
This play, Other Desert Cities, was heralded as the best new play by the New York Times last year. The story implicates the family and tells some family secrets. Secrets don't necessarily play well with all of the family.
Things get bumpy when a promising young novelist returns home to get her family's approval of her newest work. Politics, lies, and regrets collide in this Pulitzer Prize-nominated play.
It is a powerhouse play, a powerful story, strong family emotions. It is full of wit. It is clever. It's funny. It is unforgettable. It's powerful theater.
The Repertory Theater of St. Louis. For tickets to other desert cities playing February 12th through March 9th, call 968-4925 or visit repstl.org.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story of how SelectQuote goes to bat for you buying term life insurance. A while back, a man called me who had had prostate cancer. He asked if I could beat a very high quote another life insurance agent had given him. I said, let me see. Well, I took his pertinent information, then shopped the highly rated, price-competitive companies we represent, and found one who pre-approved him for a premium way below what he had been quoted. When it comes to term life insurance, no other company touches SelectQuote's experience and expertise in finding the right policy at the right price for almost anyone. How about you?
For your free quote, call 1-800-400-4216. That's 1-800-400-4216. 1-800-400-4216. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You say.
Cigarettes are smart. They're packed with over 2,000 poisons chemically engineered to keep you addicted. But now there's a revolutionary product that's smarter. It's called the VaporMate. And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give it to you for free. Just call 1-800-400-0092. VaporMate is not a pill. It's not a piece of gum. It tastes like the real thing, smokes like the real thing. And best of all, it satisfies like a relaxing smoke should. Millions in research have gone into making cigarettes one of the most potent addictions known to man. But VaporMate outsmarts real cigarettes, freeing you from harmful effects. No more secondhand smoke, smelly clothes, hacking, and coughing. Just the great flavor and smoking satisfaction of VaporMate anywhere, anytime. Claim your free VaporMate now. That's a $129 value for free. Imagine the money you'll save each month. But hurry, this is a limited-time radio-only offer. Call 1-800-400-0092. Get the amazing details at 1-800-400-0092.
The latest Wall Street Journal NBC poll says that Americans have concerns about our economic future. As a retiree or near retiree, these are not words that you want to hear. It's more important than ever to have a financial advisor who is as committed to your success as you are. I'm Ken Heise. Call us now at 314-909-1116 and ask about the Heise Advisory Group no obligation consultation. The financial world can change fast and have a lasting impact on your future. We take our responsibility seriously and do everything we can to protect our clients from surprises in the market. Call us and we'll do our best to prepare you from whatever the world brings. The number to call is 314-909-1116. We might feel like we don't have control over Washington, but we can take control over our financial future. So call me now at 314-909-1116. That's 314-909-1116. At Heise Advisory Group, you'll get a simple path toward financial security.
Ken Heise is an investment advisor representative. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Lori Heise is a licensed insurance representative.
For a fast, accurate temperature reading, nothing beats the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Here's what a real Exergen customer had to say.
This works great. My doctor's office uses the same brand and recommended this one to me. I love that I can check my baby's temperature when sleeping because he stays asleep.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer is backed by over 50 published medical studies, more than any other thermometer, and is used and recommended by more medical professionals everywhere, giving you the peace of mind that you're getting the best. The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer.
This President's Day, Guitar Center wants you to feel like you have the power in your hands. Not the power to manage national affairs or change laws. I mean the cool kind of power, like the power of a Fender acoustic or an Ibanez electric guitar, $99 each. That's what I'm talking about. Plus hundreds of other deals, like a Harbinger PA system for just $169, or an MXL Vocal Mic or Fostex headphones, $19 each. Celebrate President's Day by feeling the power of the greatest feeling on earth, only at Guitar Center. Now through Monday.
Hi, folks. Bob Candace here of Candice's Restaurant with some great news for Valentine's Day. Candice's will be celebrating Valentine's Day all weekend long with specials like a crabby New York strip with real crab meat or a 5-ounce lobster tail on a bed of homemade Parmesan risotto. On Valentine's Day, all ladies will receive a flower and will have live entertainment all weekend long. Be sure to stop by Candice's, located at Holloway Road at Manchester. See our website at candices.net. Candice's, because you love great food.
Stop in to your local Chevy dealer to check out the 2014 Silverado, Cruze, Malibu, or Equinox. And take advantage of President's Day cash today.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. And, well, look who is on the line here. He's feeling so guilty about missing you for an entire week next week. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Frank Opinion.
Hey!
I'm having a horrible, horrible day.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to get this trip canceled, and I don't, we're not going to be able to do it. We're going to have to go, because I didn't realize when we put it together, we're going to be gone while Jimmy Fallon's doing his first night.
That's right. He starts Monday after the Olympics.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can get the thing canceled.
I can't believe you're going during the Olympics. I know how much you love the dancing.
Yeah, well, that too. And then Dan tells me that you mentioned Ralph Waite died, John Walton.
Yes.
Just a little bit of trivia. People may not have known. That was not his real name. His agent suggested. His name was Ralph Height, and he said, "Thank you."
Oh my goodness!
Wait, thank you, everybody.
Oh,
you.
Even on assignment.
Well, even on assignment, you lose your
height
timing
instead of
weight. Kind of lose it. And then the reason I had to call in, I forgot to do the outdoor segment yesterday. You should see my email. Hundreds. Where was the outdoor segment? We missed the outdoor segment. So, Peon, if you would, a little outdoor segment music. Well, hello, everybody. Time for the outdoor segment. And, woo, it is still pretty cold. 9 degrees tonight. Don't go outdoors. It'll be okay to go out Monday. 50 degrees, Tuesday 54, Wednesday 62. Good time to get outdoors. And that's it. That's the outdoor segment brought to you by
Pistol
Squad. What?
Wow.
Yeah, brought to you by
Pistol
Squad.
Really 10 seconds of channeling Glenn Zimmerman and that's it?
Yeah. Brought to you by Pistols Plus in Osage Beach, Missouri. And quickly, I got to mention for the folks you folks are going to the lake to see if your boat is encased in ice because you didn't turn the water like you're supposed to in your boat slip. The folks at Pistols Plus, and I know I'm speaking a foreign language to you, Paul, and probably Peon and Dan, but they have lots of .22 caliber ammo. There's been a big shortage of that. And they also have some Ruger Mark 111 .22 pistols and .22 caliber AR-style rifles. And if you buy one of those rifles, you get a large box of .22 caliber ammo with the rifle. So there you go.
What is the high going to be on Tuesday again? I didn't get that.
62 is what the... No, Wednesday, 62. Tuesday, 54, they're saying now.
Thank you, Angela Huddy.
Yeah, well... how about that? 60, you know, January, let's see, 7th, January 4th or 5th, it was 10 below zero. And so 62 Wednesday. And this is exactly, by the way, what we did not want to happen. When we're down there, we do not want it to be 62 here. This is ruining everything.
Yeah, but it'll still be 20 degrees warmer when we're there.
That's true. And cloudy, I think. So.
On behalf of everybody who will still be here in St. Louis, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
Shut up.
I'm not like that. I hope it's nice for you guys.
All right, well, thanks for letting me get the outdoor segment in. And we will see everybody a week from Monday, and we'll have all kinds of stories to tell. Some will be lies, and some will be true. You just have to figure out which is which.
Okay, good.
All right, take it easy, Paul.
See you, Frank.
Bye-bye.
Speaking of the Olympics, NBC actually came out with a statement on Wednesday in response to people who are complaining about the Olympic coverage. Now, I don't know how many years NBC has had the Olympics. I think it's been probably more than 20 years.
I think so.
And
yeah.
Every time the games are not in North America, like the Winter Games were in Vancouver 4 years ago, and you know we've had Salt Lake City and Lake Placid and Atlanta and Los Angeles have all hosted it. Anytime it's in Europe or Asia or Australia,
the tape delay stuff.
Else,
yeah, it just does not go over well.
Why don't people? See, here's the thing I don't get. First of all, we live in a world where everything is streaming. If you if you want to watch the biathlon live, go on NBCOlympics.com, fill out the form, and watch it live. Although there are now
it's
people...
It's 5 or 6 in the morning, though. That's the problem with most of the...
Well, then what are you complaining about?
Right.
You can... like, isn't MSNBC and all the other NBC stations on cable?
NBC Sports Network, they're
carrying stuff.
I missed the women's hockey game. Well, you should have gotten up in the middle of the night if it was that important, or have a DVR.
Right, and it's so hard to not hear the results before they air it, you know, in prime time.
Who cares about the... I mean, let's be honest about this. These are sports that we don't care about.
Right.
We do not care about it, unless it's somebody whose name, you know, like Shaun White, the other day, the snowboarder. I don't follow Sean White's career. He's the only snowboarder whose name I could, if you put a gun to my head, name a snowboarder, Sean White. Name another one. Kill me. I could not name another one. And so he didn't medal this year. Okay, that's a story. Fine. Why do I need to know that at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Why can't I can wait till 9 or 10 o'clock at night to learn that, or have other sources of information. It's the internet age. Get Twitter, for God's sakes.
Right.
And there are also people complaining that they can't get on NBCOlympics.com because you have to be a person who has cable or satellite TV. Well, I contend that in the 21st century, in the year 2014, if you don't have cable or satellite, then you don't care about television, and you shouldn't complain about stuff like this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like my mother-in-law, she doesn't even have a TV. She has no right to complain about NBC's Olympics, Olympic coverage.
Well, she doesn't even know it's on.
She has no idea.
No.
none whatsoever. So, here are the highlights that you missed. Bob Costas still out with pink eye. Meredith Vieira will host primetime tonight.
Yeah.
And some people are mad about that.
Why?
Some people are mad that Bob Costas is out. They
the
think
guy is
he should
sick.
Be,
he's got double pink eye.
I know.
Not one. He started with one. He worked with one. He's got double pink eye.
Yeah.
What do you got? You know, if you keep this up and you keep putting him on TV, it's going to keep going around his head. He'll get pink ear.
Yeah.
Leave a guy alone, for goodness sake. All right, I promised you I was going to talk about the 40th anniversary of what I consider to be one of the funniest movies ever made. And I'm not alone in this. The American Film Institute actually named it as the sixth funniest movie ever when they did their review of American comedies back in 2000. If I play this intro, see if you can recognize what the movie was. Right there.
Is that Blazing Saddles?
That is Blazing Saddles. Go ahead, play it.
Oh, the Blazing Saddle. He wore a shining star.
Frankie Lane singing it.
His job to offer battle to bad men near and far. He conquered fear and he conquered hate. He turned dark night into day. He made his blazing saddle a torch to light the way.
Okay, I will tell you that when this movie came out 40 years ago, I was in high school, went to see the movie, laughed so hard that I stayed to see it a second time in the same theater, and then next day went back and paid to see it a third time. I saw it three times in 24 hours.
At the campfire scene, I almost threw up just from laughing.
The first time, the first movie to incorporate audible flatulence in movie history. And as Mel Brooks said, I always thought about these cowboys out there eating beans and drinking coffee. You know that there had to be some sort of a soundtrack to that. And so he put it in the movie. And it was hysterical.
Yes.
Hysterical. A couple of other things you may not know about Blazing Saddles. Number one, Richard Pryor was one of the writers on that movie.
Supposed to be the star.
Really?
Mel Brooks wanted him to be the star, but
He was in a bad way at the time.
Well, he was,
and
using,
they wouldn't
he was using drugs, and the movie studio couldn't get the insurance company to write a policy on them. Whenever you do a movie, everybody who's the star of the movie gets insured. So if they get sick, there's coverage because the movie usually would have to stop. And the insurance company said, we are not writing a policy on Richard Pryor. Yeah. Get somebody else. So he was one of the four writers on the movie. But then they got Cleavon Little. And it would be hard for me to imagine how Richard Pryor could have made the movie better. It would have been different, but I thought Cleavon Little was fantastic.
I thought he was great.
Role.
I thought he was great.
I also did not know that Gene Wilder was not the first choice for the Waco Kid. There's a story about an actor who I know nothing about this guy, a guy by the name of Gig Young, who I think must have been famous in like the 50s and 60s, and he had done a bunch of Westerns. And so Mel Brooks thought he was perfect for this boozy character of the Waco Kid in the movie. And they shot what is one of the first scenes where we see the Waco Kid, and he's in the jail cell, and he's in one of the bunks in the jail cell, and he's kind of hanging sideways off the bed with just holding on with his legs. And so Mel Brooks tells him, okay, here's what we're going to do. And, you're kind of a drunk, and that's why you're in there, you're sobering up. And so they put him in there, and they okay, action. And he falls, and he's kind of leaning sideways out of the bunk. And Mel Brooks says, wow, this guy is such a great actor. Look at him. It actually looks like he's turning green and getting sick from alcoholism and all that sort of stuff. Turns out that Gig Young actually was an alcoholic who was not over it yet and was turning green because he was having the DTs that day. And so the irony is you couldn't get insurance for Richard Pryor, but you got for Gig Young. And then Mel Brooks, was, he was on a budget. And they're already starting to shoot the movie, so he calls his friend Gene Wilder. Gene, is there any chance you can get down here? You saw the script as I was writing it. I showed you some of the parts of it. Is there any way you can get down here and do this scene? Well, Mel, I can't just come down and do the scene. I'd have to do the whole role. Get down here and do this right now. And he drove down there, and the entire way down there, Gene Wilder's thinking, "What? I'm about to go into a movie. I don't have a deal for this movie or anything, but Mel was a really good friend, and they went ahead and did it that way.
Man.
But in both cases, neither of the stars was the person it was supposed to be. What else? Madeline Kahn got an Oscar nomination for playing Lily von Stupp in the movie. John Wayne was invited to be in it. Mel Brooks says that he asked John Wayne to read the script, and although Wayne found it hilarious, he said, this would not be good for my career to be in this. However, he told Brooks, I will be the first in line to see it. And then here's the other thing I got to tell you about this, and I did not know this today.
And before you do all that, Frank has another tidbit to add about Blazing Saddles. Also,
is this the forecast for next week in Rock Ridge?
Quick, but I heard you say that you aren't familiar with Gig Young.
Yeah,
Gig Young, he's the guy that we can thank for the expression, like if a band is booked somewhere else, they go, "I can't do it. I've got another Young."
Oh, yeah, that's him.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. See ya.
Oh, man.
Do you not understand the concept of vacation?
Assignment.
I'm sorry, on assignment. Here's the other thing I did not know until today. The movie came out in 1974, which is why it's 40 years now. That fall, some people in TV said, this movie is such a gigantic comedy hit. We've got to turn this into a TV show. And so they did a pilot. Mel Brooks, not involved. Andrew Bergman, who came up with the original script for the movie, not involved. Richard Pryor, not involved. Cleavon Little, not involved. Gene Wilder, not involved. Madeline Kahn, not involved. So I heard about this. I said, I bet you it's on YouTube. And it is. And I went and I watched some of it today. I could not watch the whole 30 minutes of it because it's horrible. It's called Black Bart. And it stars Lou Gossett Jr.,
oh, man.
Who, while he's a very good actor,
right,
you don't really think of him as a comedic
actor.
Can't pull off the lighter side like Cleavon Little was able to. And instead of Gene Wilder, Steve Landisberg.
What?
Yes.
Well, he has the same type of hair that Gene Wilder has. He has that kinky
curly hair. Yeah. It is so unfunny. And it has a laugh track that doesn't fit at all with what's going on there. It's the kind of laugh track where you could hear the producers say, all right, you better turn that laugh up a lot more because that was really, really not funny at all. It actually has multiple uses of the N-word. Mm. You could never do that in a TV show now. It had a woman doing a bad imitation of Lily von Stupp, the way Madeline Kahn did it. It's terrible. It has no sense of what made the movie funny in the first place. There's a reason why it didn't go to series, but the pilot is available. I'm going to find, I'm going to put the link up on my website sometime this weekend, but you can find it by just going on YouTube and searching for Black Bart. On the 40th anniversary of Blazing Saddles, you're much better off finding the original movie and watching that again. One of the funniest movies ever made.
Meep, meep.
And we're going to get a look at traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
Well, for the most part, they've cleared the accidents that have been going on here, but boy, we've got some really jammed up traffic. First of all, let's go with westbound 40. Stop and go from Grand to McCausland. Lindbergh out through Mason, from Clarkson to the Boone Bridge. It's going to be one slow go. Now, if you're coming eastbound on 40, you've got stop and go traffic from Boone's Crossing all the way up through Highway 270. Southbound 270, bumper to bumper, Dorset through Doherty Ferry. southbound 170, bumper to bumper from Page through Highway 40, eastbound 270, really jamming up from a little bit north of the Rock Road through New Florissant, and then from Washington Elizabeth through 367, you've just got really slow and heavy traffic. And then on eastbound 44 downtown, you are slow from the Poplar Street Bridge to the Museo Bridge through the depressed section. And this traffic report, it's brought to you by Russell Stover Valentine Chocolates. Giving chocolates for Valentine's Day is a given, but what kind? Russell Stover is America's favorite heart box. Give her what she's hoping to get. Give her Russell Stover. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Stop in to your local Chevy dealer to check out the 2014 Silverado, Cruze, Malibu, or Equinox. And take advantage of President's Day cash today.
Target Talk St. Louis is presented by the Belleville Indoor Shooting Range and Metro Shooting Supplies in Bridgeton. Join the conversation about firearms beginning every Sunday at 6 p.m. on KTRS.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment starring Bill Cleveland along with Bruce Limprist in the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456, or get their app, STL Taxi. Here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, everybody. How you doing?
Happy Valentine's Day, Bill.
Well, thank you, Paul. Happy Valentine's Day to you as well, and in lieu of jokes, actually, because it is Valentine's Day, I put together a little love poem. Would you like to hear the love poem?
Oh, sure. Do I have a choice?
No, you have no choice, and here we go. Roses are red. Violets are blue. Valentine's Day is stupid. Cupid can kiss my butt.
Wow.
Hey.
That's beautiful.
Oh, Mr. Romance.
You should call Hallmark.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
The Bill Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM cab company. And from downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Reminds me of a poem I wrote once. There once was a lady named Shuck. No, I probably
can't. Can't go there.
Probably can't tell that one on the air. In the next hour, we'll play the Harris Challenge. There might be some love-related topics in the challenge. And, of course, our weekly topical category, Have You Been Paying Attention, will be in there. And I've also got a great new batch of knuckleheads in the news to share with you. All available live over the air on the Big 550 KTRS and worldwide with our streaming audio on KTRS.com or the free KTRS app. You can download it to your smartphone and take us wherever you go. It's 5 o'clock. This is the Big 550, KTRS, St. Louis.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck.